How are the solas of the Lutheran Reformation God's gift to all Christians? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is titled Grace, Faith, Scripture, Portrait of a Lutheran. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. You can read an excerpt and purchase Grace, Faith, Scripture at IssuesETC.org. Be sure to request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. Grace, Faith, Scripture, Portrait of a Lutheran.
Why do so much of the rest of the press not get it right? Well, because they're covering a different sport. They're heavy metal fans at the opera.
A lot of times we don't know what we believe or why we believe it, but I think I'd go even further. A lot of times we don't know how we've come to believe what we believe.
What abortion is saying is that my life can be redeemed, that my life can have a kind of resurrection or newness to it only by taking the life of somebody else.
God's saying, forgiven, justified, perfect in my sight. How are we not going to hear those and then say, really?
Lutheran professors at the University of Oklahoma love listening to Issues Etc. Boomer Sooner.
Headline from the New York Times reads, a new Lincoln Bible from a mantle to a presidential library, a Bible once owned by Abraham Lincoln, has turned up more than 150 years after his death. You think we would have found everything associated with President Lincoln. His life has been so thoroughly examined, and there are so many artifacts of that life that survive to us of historical interest. But a Bible, heretofore unknown by historians, has shown up and will be on display at the presidential library. What do we know of Abraham Lincoln's faith? He is known as a president who, like so many other presidents, often quoted Holy Scripture. Did he believe what the Bible said? He owned six of them. He and his family owned six of them that we know of. Did he believe what was in it? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Thursday afternoon, the 20th of June. We're going to be talking about the faith of Abraham Lincoln. Dr. Alvin Schmidt, Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College, will be our guest a little bit later. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We'll discuss recent money prophecies made by Hillsong's pastor, Brian Houston. Pastor Chris Rosebrough will be our guest. Feel free to join us with questions or comments. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet @issuesetc, or use the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about the faith of Abraham Lincoln, Dr. Alvin Schmidt, Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College and author of several books, including How Christianity Changed the World. Dr. Schmidt, welcome back.
Yeah, pleased to be with you again.
Does the fact that Lincoln and his family owned six Bibles that we know of tell us anything about Lincoln's faith?
Well, probably not. Perhaps all six of them, I'm not sure, may have been given to him. Maybe he had one that he bought himself. I really don't know. I don't know if anyone knows. At the same time, Lincoln, already when he was still in Illinois, before he was elected to government and then later on as president, was often accused of being the village atheist. Now, people who gave him that negative label probably often didn't really know, but the fact that Lincoln didn't ever, as far as we know, join a congregation or was a regular church member probably prompted some people to give him that name. But it's also interesting, because of that particular accusation that was given to him once, he said in 1846, still early in his life, and it's quoted in the Illinois Gazette, by the way, and I have this information in a book from a friend of mine who lives in St. Louis by the name of William Federer, who wrote a book only 9 years ago, Prayers on Presidents. And, of course, Lincoln is included. And one of the first things that he mentions under Abraham Lincoln is this accusation of his being a village atheist. And here's what Lincoln says. I have never denied the truth of the scriptures. I have never spoken with intentional disrespect of religion in general or of any denomination of Christians in particular. I do not think I could myself be brought to support a man for office whom I know to be an enemy of any or scoffer of any religion. That is basically his defense of being not a village atheist. So the accusation and the doubts have been present for a long time. Was Lincoln a Christian? I don't know. It's very interesting because Lincoln already lived like to this day. You know, the American society has been a very civil, religious-oriented country. The term civil religion goes back to the 1780s by Jacques Rousseau, a French critic who was by no means a Christian, very unchristian in many ways, basically wrote a book called The Social Contract, in which he advocated that nations need a religious bond of some kind with no specifics in terms of naming God. And this is exactly what civil religion does. And our country has been, in fact, Concordia Publishing House in 2006 published a book, The Anonymous God, in which a number of individuals wrote individual chapters on the topic of civil religion. I was one of the authors who wrote one of the chapters in that book. And it's very interesting about the title, The Anonymous God. And when you read, for example, all the prayers that are mentioned by William Federer of the Presidents, God is usually quite anonymous. For example, and Lincoln did this too. For example, he would say the sublime truth in scriptures. Now, you must say that Lincoln often cited scriptures perhaps more than many of the other presidents did. He also sometimes spoke about the influence of the Holy Spirit, or he spoke about a, quote, just God, unquote. He spoke about the Almighty Father, as another phrase that he'd use. He would often say, whatever behooves us, and here's an interesting phrase. He mentioned a couple of times, to confess our national sins and pray for clemency and forgiveness. This was said on the National Day of Humiliation and Fasting for a proclamation back in 1863. The very fact that he spoke about confessing our national sins gives that statement sort of a Christian ring, if you will. But was he a Christian for saying it? I don't know. And I'm not trying to belittle him, but I just can't say more than what the evidence seems to indicate. Lincoln, most likely, my opinion, was a deist. And this is basically true of George Washington. It was very much true of Jefferson. It was very much true of John Adams. And you name a whole host of American presidents. And being a deist who believes that there is a divine human being who created this world, but then left it up to basically to human beings to govern and direct their lives. So this is what many of them are. And as a result of it, you can go, for example, to hear George Washington. He very often, and these deists in the civil religion, the American presidents, would often use sort of, again, anonymous God-like phrases. Washington would often say, the Almighty, or then he would say, heaven may bless us. So heaven was, in a sense, a synonym for God. Or they would use other kinds of, even, for example, Abraham Lincoln used one of his terms, for example, where he spoke about the power, and the power is capitalized, referring, in other words, being the name for God. So this is where basically Lincoln falls into the context of whether he was a Christian or not. I don't know, as I said a moment ago. But he was certainly a person who was not an atheist, by no means. I mean, to anyone who makes that argument is a hard case to support it. So that's a sort of a brief synopsis of Lincoln and whether the Bibles that he had in any way contributed to his being more divine. He obviously, during the Civil War, he often went to the Bible to gain insight, I suppose also support and comfort for what he was doing. But again, whether that made him a Christian, you know, we in this country have often been confused. And you see it again quite frequently. We are a Christian nation. No, we never have been. That's a very fallacious, erroneous statement to say. We've been a country that's been greatly influenced by Christian values, but that's not the same as saying we were a, or are a Christian nation. Now, I grant that this is not a statement that has been recently said. It was a Supreme Court justice many years ago that said that very same thing. But if we were a Christian nation, all we need to stop and think, we would have had to adopt the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed. Now, if that would have been tried in the early days of the United States, do you think that would have happened or passed? No way. Why? Because, for example, we were already imbued with the spirit of civil religion, believing in God, but that God is necessarily not Jesus Christ. And you see, we as Christians pray in the name of Jesus Christ, as Jesus tells us in John 14, for example. Whatever you ask in my name, I will give you. I'm slightly paraphrasing, but basically that is the passage. And we end our prayers on Sunday morning in collects in the name of Jesus Christ. This is not what the presidents ever have done. In fact, in this book, there's not one example of all the prayers where they ever ended the prayer in the name of Jesus Christ.
We do know that Lincoln was raised in a Baptist home. The New York Times story mentions that he gained this reputation as, you know, kind of not all religious, but quasi-religious. But it also notes that the older he grew, along with the hardships of the nation that he was leading, his references to Scripture grew more frequent, and especially referencing his last inaugural address. What do we know about that?
That's very true. It's also interesting in the Gettysburg Address, for which he is so famously known, he mentions God only once, and in almost the very last sentence. What does that say? I really don't know. Again, I'm the last one to say that he was a skeptic, but I'm also the last one to say that he was a Christian as defined, for example, in the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed. In that sense, I would have a hard time making a case.
He certainly wouldn't be alone among U.S. presidents in being more disconnected from the church, more disconnected from religious life than the average American. Would you agree with that?
That's true. It's interesting when you read Washington, for example, whom we have idolized in many ways beyond reality. He, too, was a deist, even though early in his life he was a vestryman, for example, in the Episcopal Church. But as time went on, he was less active in church. In fact, in the latter years, he would go to church with his wife and often would not stand up when the other people stood up in the church service, basically because he apparently didn't agree with some of the things that were said and spoken. And we, for example, take Dwight Eisenhower. When he became president, just before he was inaugurated, he went and became a member and got baptized in the Presbyterian Church. And when you read Eisenhower, for example, different comments, you again see the very deistic flavor coming through in his speeches. One of the particular speeches I remember him saying, we need to have a faith, whatever that faith is, but we need to have a faith. In other words, a faith is on an object, and certainly the object of Jesus Christ was not mentioned.
There is one piece of note in the New York Times piece, and that is by the testimony of the person who was given this Bible by Mary Lincoln very near his death at Ford Theater. He claims that the last words expressed to her while contemplating leaving offices was desire to go visit Jerusalem to see the places hallowed by the footsteps of the Savior. What do you make of that statement?
That's a very interesting statement. Yes, I noticed that myself when you sent me the link and looked at it. Again, I don't know whether he used that term in a narrow sense referring to Jesus Christ. Well, obviously he's talking about the land of Israel and he wanted to see the name of Jesus Christ was certainly implied. Did he really say that? I don't know. If he did, again, then he was perhaps more than just a deist. Maybe he was a Christian, but again, we don't have a great deal of evidence to say more than that.
The New York Times story mentions that many scholars assert that Lincoln, over his life, not only quoted the Bible more, but became more religious. Do you agree?
Well, probably so, depending how you define become more religious. One would say that if you read the Bible more frequently now than you did in the past, is it an index of being more religious? I think yes, probably so. You don't just read it for curiosity necessarily. You're probably reading to find some spiritual comfort and guidance. And putting the best construction on it, I would say that's what probably Lincoln did.
Finally then, Dr. Schmidt, someone says, well, look, he obviously quoted the Bible a lot, and he obviously owned a lot of Bibles. That's enough for me. Lincoln was a Christian. With about a minute, how would you respond to that?
Well, that's because, again, so many people have what I would call a broad, and it's more than a broad, it's really a fallacious definition of Christianity. In other words, as long as you are not opposed to Christ, as long as you, for example, are not an atheist, you are a Christian. I remember this way back in my youthful years, yet before I even ever thought of going to the seminary. I was in sales work for a while, and one of my fellow salesmen, for example, spoke of himself being a Christian. And basically what he was talking about is that he was a law-abiding individual, rarely attended church, but he didn't disbelieve in God. And that is often the concept we have even when we talk about our country being a Christian nation. We have a very broad definition of Christianity, or what's a Christian? Like, for example, as Jesus put it, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Unless you believe that, we say you're not a Christian. That, for most people, is a definition that's far too narrow.
Dr. Alvin Schmidt is professor emeritus of sociology at Illinois College. He's author of several books, including How Christianity Changed the World. You can purchase this book at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Schmidt, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Pastor Chris Roseborough joins us on the other side of the break. He hosts a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Keeps his eye on pop American Christianity and evangelicalism in general, and he joins us for our weekly feature, This Week in Pop Christianity. We'll talk about recent money prophecies being made by Hillsong's pastor, Brian Houston. Voting takes place June 22nd through the 25th for President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you're a registered voter for the 2019 LCMS presidential election, please vote to re-elect Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Matt Harrison. If you're not a voter, encourage your pastor and your congregation's lay voter to vote for President Harrison. Official ballots have been mailed to all registered voters. Remember to vote June 22nd through the 25th.
If you're at all interested in the future of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, you won't want to miss the June issue of The Lutheran Witness. This special issue of the magazine offers a wealth of information on the upcoming LCMS National Convention, including convention overtures, the national offering, and interviews with the three men nominated to serve as Synod President. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If only we could see and hear what takes place in the divine service. The holy God's voice pours out eternal gifts. Sinners are washed in cleansing water that saves them from death. The Son of God gives his body and blood for us, the food of immortality. The church on earth blends her voice with angels and saints in glory to praise our God. These wondrous mysteries take place at Our Savior Lutheran Church in Stevensville, Montana, 184 Pine Hollow Road. Call 406-777-5625 or find us on Facebook.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.